Let's turn to the Hebrew Bible, to the book of Exodus, to the first Passover, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. You can find it in the Bible you brought, or if you're referring to the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 56 in the Hebrew Bible. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then the epistle from Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. You can find this on page 163 of the New Testament. And this are familiar words, but you may not recognize them here. So hear Paul's words to the church at Corinth. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn to the gospel lesson. Both today and on Easter Sunday, we'll be referring to the Gospel of John, and there'll be some more important thoughts about that a little bit later, but let's now go to the Word, to the Holy Word, to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, following up with 31b through 35. It'll make sense as you look at the Scripture why it's 31b. Anyway, this starts, this starts on page 101 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. "Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I like these special evenings because, aside from Sundays when I write out a sermon so that I can give it to Esther and Ken for the folks who are homebound, I don't write anything. I let the Spirit move me tonight. But I'm a pastor in that I have three things to say to you, so I won't drone on and on. And what I want you to think about, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the introduction, think about those 12 who met, with Jesus in that upper room. And then look toward the Lord's table here tonight. You'll notice off to the right side is the cross in the background of our church. And it truly, likely, was also in the background of the mind of everyone who sat and reclined at that table that evening. These 12 who accompanied Jesus in that triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday saw the writing on the wall. All of these folks knew Roman crucifixion. They understood that that was the cost for going up against the Sanhedrin or going up against the Roman Empire. And so probably in the backs of their minds, that was a possibility for their teacher, for their rabbi, for their Lord. Because Lent is such a personal, contemplative, prayerful time, I offer you an observation that I want you to follow through to Easter Sunday. Jesus took specific attention to remind the apostles that they called him teacher and Lord. And he said, "And you are right, for that is what I am, and therefore you should follow me." But on Easter Sunday, we will hear another follower of Jesus who also recognized him as teacher and Lord. Now, many of you know this because you're students of the Bible or you have studied at seminary or other places. The name Maundy Thursday comes to us from the Latin. Anyway, the root of the word is the same root as mandate,
Maundy. And that is a new commandment by Jesus. Now think about what the Bible told the followers of God. At one point, the Bible says that we should love our enemies as ourselves. Then Jesus goes so much further on this night when he tells them that there is a new standard. There's a new mandate, a new commandment, that you are to love each other as I, as Jesus, has loved you. That's a whole new deal. And it's one that they would spend their lives trying to imitate, and one that I'm hopeful we try to imitate. This wasn't the conquering hero who rode into town on a white horse with legions and army behind him. This was Jesus of Nazareth riding a donkey and people throwing down branches from the trees. This Jesus, this Messiah, this anointed one, this Son of God, proved his love in the most humble act he could have done. And that was by washing the feet of his followers. And he said to them, I am your teacher and Lord, and if you follow me, you should do the same. You should prove the humility and genuineness of your love by loving each other as I have loved you, so that others will look at you and know that you are my followers by the depth and humility of your love. My sisters and brothers, that perhaps is the most important message of the Last Supper.